when it comes to food and freedom of choice, the use of raw dairy becomes a very important issue, and Mark McAfee, an important spokesman. He's the owner of Organic Pastures in California. He created and published the first international raw milk safety standards, invented the first dietary supplements made from fresh raw colostrum, securing their FDA and DHS certification, and is an experienced medical educator. He's tenacious, and he's here today. So stay tuned. I'm Robin Clare. This is Tributaries. Mark just started laughing a little bit because I said I had full trust in him. But hey, who wouldn't? You're the salt of the earth here. Thank you for joining us today, Mark. You had mentioned earlier this week when we were speaking that you were meeting with a senator. Was that regarding a raw milk issue, or have you taken off into the depths of food freedom here?
We are working very, very hard right now to get a bill sponsor identified at the California legislature within the Assembly Agricultural Committee to try to get one of the members to sponsor our bill. We already have it drafted, the bill language drafted, but nobody seems to be willing to put their head up to help us. And the bill is basically this. It's a no-outsourcing bill. It says basically if you buy raw milk from a store or anywhere, you should know what's in that milk. That, in fact, the bottle should reflect the label of the farm and identify the source of that milk. Currently in California, we are issued milk handler's licenses, and raw milk is a vibrantly thriving market, and there's a tremendous opportunity for somebody to screw up and buy a 6,000 gallons of milk from any dairy in the state, bring it in, and bottle it, put it in their label, and sell it off, especially when that milk can be bought at $15 to $17 per hundredweight, and you get $150 a hundredweight for it. And there's a structural problem within the state of California rules and regulations where the state of California doesn't care and doesn't know that that could actually happen. And so we're asking to change and codify these errors to make sure that the law is clear that when you bottle your milk, it's your milk, not somebody else's. And this is very important. There's been some illnesses in the last few years regarding this, and we want to make sure that this doesn't happen again. It's going to spur some health and revitalization of the agricultural interest in doing raw milk in California, because currently the milk pool is such an incredibly burdensome system, which allows this free flow of milk between dairies, that it actually suppresses any ability to go out and do raw milk because of the massive burdens of the financial oppression of the milk pool. So it's a complicated issue. Simplified is basically we want people to know where their raw milk comes from, and we want farmers to be responsible for their own raw milk. We hope to get some sponsorship here.
You mentioned that, well, the state of California doesn't care. Oh, yes, they do. The first little outbreak that goes on, they're going to be the first ones to say we care, and then they'll just shut it all down.
They're evolving. I think that they've had extreme bias in the past. There's no question about that. I'll give you an example of that. It really upsets people, but I'll tell you, it's very interesting. In 2006, Organic Pastures Dairy had a small outbreak. And the press release was so incredibly biased, so shrill in its tone, named our brand, condemned us before any information was collected. Just 6 weeks before our outbreak, we had a recall we had. There were 1,600 people sickened by Campylobacter at a pasteurized milk creamery. There was not even a press release created with 1,600 people sickened and seven in a hospital. When ours was no big deal. And at the same time, we're talking about four people on ours and nobody even hospitalized. And you know what? We got smeared all over the press, and they had 1,600 people sick and seven in the hospital, and there wasn't even a press release with pasteurized milk. So that's the extreme bias you find from our regulators here in California.
As we know, each state has their own regulating laws, and thank you for coming into Colorado and adding some expertise when we were having the problem back in 2004, which we were able to rise above and get our program pretty well set now for a while.
It was a big fight. It was one of those times where the people and the regulators came to loggerheads, and the fight was clear. Sal O'Donnell was there. I was there. There were other people there. There were hundreds of people packing the room, and your State Department of Health was basically taking the question. were you going to have any access to raw milk in Colorado? And the question was answered clearly, and obviously the legislature came forward and said, yeah, you can do it through legal cow shares. So every state has their way of allowing or not allowing raw milk, and Colorado found their way forward.
I just am in awe, really, of whoever thought of that idea of doing the cow share. That was really a great idea. Really clever.
It's one way of doing raw milk legally, and it's a great way of connecting farmers to consumers, which is something missing in American agriculture today. It's quite sad because farmers are being impoverished financially and socially. They're isolated, they're marginalized, they're treated like dirt or less than dirt in terms of the payment, and they get no acknowledgement for the hard work they do. And when you do a cow share, the farmer and the consumer are reconnected back together. The farmer's fully paid. The consumer's fully nourished. Nobody's cheated. The farmer and consumer get to tell their stories to each other. The farmer gets a hug. When the mom reports back that, guess what, the kids don't have ear infections or asthma or allergies. They don't get snuffy noses anymore, and they don't get the flu because their immune system's working right. Raw milk is a wonderful, wonderful food for not only the farmer, but the consumer and the family.
Definitely. You did just bring up asthma, and it's counterintuitive for a lot of people, but I thought it would be really great if you could speak to asthma. And, of course, that feeds right into food allergies.
Absolutely.
And just the benefits and why pasteurized milk really is quite a cause of all of those things.
Well, you're absolutely right. Pasteurized milk is the most allergenic food in America, number one. If you were to take your smartphone out or Google, do a search engine, the most allergenic food in America. Don't even suggest what it is. Just ask the question, and it will be a website link to the FDA. There'll be a series of foods listed. The number one is pasteurized milk. The reason behind that is when you pasteurize milk, you break up all the proteins and the bacteria, and you make little particles that your body can't understand or appreciate. And those things cause and trigger all kinds of allergenic responses. Mast cells degrade, you get lots of histamines responding, and it's the most allergenic food in America. Eight children have died since 1998 from the allergies to perfectly pasteurized milk. Where raw milk is anti-allergenic, it's non-allergenic. All the huge studies in Europe, the Parsifal study, the Gabriella study, the Amish study, over 30,000 kids studied over an eight-year period, show that dramatic decreases in asthma, allergies, or allergic rhinitis, which is like nose stuff, and ear infections and eczema when kids drink raw milk. And if you think about it, you know, raw milk is the perfect expression of 200 million years of the mammalian evolution or God's creation, look at it either way you want to look at it, to be the perfect food to optimize health and immune system status for children and babies. And why would God or evolution ever create a food that would be so allergenic, so incredibly flawed, so defective as to cause illness and injury in children and increased ear infections and increased colds versus one that makes you better and healthier? So it's only logical. And the experience we've had with people that drink raw milk tell us this repeatedly. Oh, my God, my kids don't have these problems anymore they used to have with pasteurized milk. That is exactly why you see a decrease in fluid pasteurized milk consumption. In California, it's dropping at 1.5% per year, irregardless of how much money spent by the California Milk Advisory Board on the Got Milk campaign, because people just simply can't digest it. It's lactose intolerance causing, and they can't get it by their allergies. So you got allergies and lactose intolerance, a double whammy. People aren't going to drink crap, you know. They're going to eat cheeses. Yeah, they're doing okay. Yogurts, yeah, sure, but not pasteurized milk. It's dying, dying quickly.
It's really true, and I'm wondering if you could speak to the growth. Windsor Dairy used to do organic, pasteurized, and now they're full on a raw farm. So obviously the growth is amazing. And I'm wondering also about the pasteurization. I would imagine that the pasteurization has just heightened as far as how much they're pasteurizing to just a ridiculous point.
Remember, bacteria on Earth are extremely resistant to being killed. They want to survive. If you look at the Human Genome Project, you know, we have 95% of the DNA in our body is actually as a part of a symbiosis with bacteria. So bacteria, you know, first forms of life on Earth, want to thrive and survive. And a lot of these bacteria become heat resistant. So they're turning the temperature up more and more on the pasteurization process to try to get longer shelf life and get rid of these bacteria, which are overcoming the heat. So, yeah, pasteurization is really having a hard time. In fact, to quote Dr. Bruce German, who's a chief researcher at the Milk Genome Consortium up at UC Davis, who loves raw milk, he said, pasteurization is an 18th century solution to an 18th century problem. And he said that technologies to verify and validate that, in fact, no pathogens are found in a, you know, a milliliter of raw milk that's tested. But there's a big problem with that. That means the farmer has to do a good job of producing the milk so that, guess what? It won't be pathogen-free. So there's no solutions to making milk clean aside from doing a good job of milking the cows, having clean, organized pastures and having clean conditions and making sure that your milkers do a good job and clean, organized milk collection processes and all the stainless steel have to be meticulously maintained. It puts the power back to the farmer, and the processors don't have any ability to manipulate the food because they don't get custody of it. So this is where it becomes really a political problem, because the processors love their money and love a farmer in serfdom. Love a farmer they can get their milk for dirt cheap, because they're going to process it in some way to render it safe, because obviously if you commingle 50 different farmers together, they don't give a darn, because guess what? It's going to be pasteurized. You're going to have a serious problem. You have to pasteurize it. Raw milk liberates the farmer from the processor and gives the farmer full value for all the work that they do, and gives the consumer all the wonderful gut-healing nutrition that's missing the American diet today, plus a whole bunch of medical value that the children need because of all the antibiotic abuse and all the sterilized foods and preservatives, which screw up the gut really badly and depress the immune system. Gets the bacteria balance going back in the human body properly, and you get all these wonderful, wonderful medical outcomes. So that upsets the FDA and the pharmaceutical interest. Raw milk is extremely disruptive food when it comes to the food chain, but not disruptive between the farmer and the consumer. It is disruptive to all the other people that had their grimy mitts on raw milk in the last 100 years. They made a lot of money on processing, pharmaceuticals, and all these other accessory things that are really not needed for what we've got to be as healthy humans. I was involved with Odwalla back in 1996, and they were doing raw apple juice, and the issues of these emerging pathogens, these E. coli's and these really bad bacteria that have come around because of the abuse of antibiotics, has really kind of changed our food supply in America because of the paranoia of food manufacturers. There's a big thing here, you know. I'm excited because there's new technologies now available that allows us to detect whether there are pathogens, small amount of raw milk, and a test within just a couple of hours. And this technology is becoming cheaper and cheaper and be more and more available to the general producing public. And I think this is going to completely revolutionize the raw milk industry in the next 5 years. And you'll see pasteurization continue for yogurts and cheeses, but you'll see it die off for fluid milk. You'll see more and more small operators that are just beloved by the local communities, have their own brand, their own bottling, and sell to the local community on the local farm. And you won't see raw milk going across the United States. It'll be manufactured as a local product. And I'm just really excited to be a part of that pioneering leadership of a new America.
That's the beauty of what happens when a system gets too top-heavy. Now everyone is so excited about coming back to their community and growing their own food and actually being able to go to the farmer and say, hey, I'll have some of your milk. Thank you very much.
It took about 100 years for consolidation to get so big and nasty that it blew up, and now it's being regenerated as new growth and something better. So there is a regeneration through the death of pasteurization on the consolidation of CAFOs, which really started doing bad things to the farmer and the consumer. And now we're getting good things from smaller farmers that are treating the animals better, treating the consumers better, and being treated better themselves. It's just a regeneration from an old dead paradigm that just wasn't working.
Tell us about your farm in California, Organic Pastures.
Yeah. We're now 13 years old. We were formed in 1999. We didn't know that Altadena Dairy, which was a huge $100 million operation, had gone out of business 6 months before we came onto the scene. It was an organic pasture-based operation. Now we're milking about 425 cows on our 500 acres of pasture, and we serve 400 stores, about 75,000 people a week. We've got 19 trucks and 65 employees that run between these stores to keep milk on the shelves. We grew 22% year over year in January. Every route, literally every route, our drivers call in and request more product for their route, and it's just this information being shared on the Internet. People call people and say, you know, my kid doesn't have the allergies, doesn't have the nasal infections, doesn't have the ear infections, doesn't have the asthma they had before. And the older people tell stories about their dental health improvement and the periodontic disease going away and bone density improvements because the phosphatase enzyme is present. You know, raw milk's got something for everybody and every age. It's really, really exciting. And that's one of the reasons why we are working so hard to get this new bill sponsored, because we think it will take the burdens off of raw milk to allow raw milk to flourish as a regrowth in jobs and everything else. most people don't know this, but organic pasture dairy is forced to participate in the milk pool in California. And it's an archaic system. It's a corrupt system. And we paid $660,000 last year to the milk pool, but we didn't get a drop of milk from the milk pool because of our ethics of not wanting to have a pathogen found in the raw milk. But we could have bought milk from anywhere in the milk pool and bottled it in our product, and that would have been legal. So that's one of the reasons why we're pushing for this legislation, make it current in terms of how things should operate in the milk system.
Yes, well, you spoke about that, and then in Colorado, we do have the milk share program. Are there other systems that are out there that you could tell us about that either you see as holding back raw milk production and availability or perhaps helping it move forward more easily?
Well, you know, I think the cow share program and retail milk programs are the two major programs. There's another program which is on-farm sales. That's found in Vermont and other locations around the country. But whatever legal codified regulations were in force about 15 years ago are generally what we've seen as staying status quo, because any liberation or accommodation to raw milk has been stifled by processors. And when you start to prohibited raw milk sales to legal raw milk sales, guess who shows up at the legislature to speak against it? It's the FDA, the big processing organizations. It's changing a little bit over time because the people's will be done. And Organic Pastures Dairy, with the assistance of Gary Cox of the Farm Consumer Legal Defense Fund, is suing the FDA on interstate commerce. So the Sprout stores here in California sell our milk and love it. But they have 19 stores over in Arizona that they can't carry our products because we can't take the products across state lines. And so these kinds of Berlin Wall barriers between farmers and their consumers will come down. It's just a matter of time. Back in 1987, when the processors actually petitioned the FDA to stop raw milk and go across state lines, it was Ronald Reagan against the processors. And so it's basically been a processor's fight to keep the raw milk from consumers because they make money when they get to process it. There's some real battles brewing right now, and we actually have a federal lawsuit is pending, and the hearings are in March. And I don't know what the FDA is going to do about it, because the bottom line is people are not dying. There have been 77 deaths from pasteurized milk in the last 35 years, but no deaths from raw milk. So their arguments about how unsafe it is are unfounded. So we're growing and thriving and excited, and never a dull moment, that's for sure, here in California. We're 100% legal, but very much challenged at every corner because of the processing industry simply just doesn't want it to thrive because it's putting them in a secondary position they don't want to be.
Yes, by the sound of things, Mark, I don't think you would allow a dull moment to happen.
Never. I'm extremely excited about both my wife, who's an RN with a master's degree, is working now in the auditing area of our food safety program at Organic Pastures Dairy. We're listed with Raw Milk Institute now, which is fantastic. Our bacteria counts have never been more consistently low. My daughter's in our marketing department doing the Facebook and all that branding and all that stuff. My son's running all logistics and operations, so I get to do radio calls, and I also get to do legislative stuff and politics and outreach and education, which is really what drives our company.
There is something known as commercial speech.
The FDA has put their chokehold around our First Amendment rights. The First Amendment is the right to speak freely. And when it comes to connecting the dots between a medical food and medical, food that has medical value, food that's bioactive, that changes your gut flora, that actually suppresses allergies and makes asthma go away. Those kind of medical statements are considered to be claims, medical claims. And according to FDA regulation, which was promulgated in private at the federal level, only drugs approved by the FDA are approved for any kind of medical claim. So if I go speaking on a website with printed material that says, a commercial website, I should say, that says something about raw milk being a cure for asthma, I get in a lot of trouble. I get fined. I cannot post on our website, on a commercial website, any anecdotal or testimonial information that's sent to me by my consumers that say, your raw milk rocks, my asthma has gone away. If I put that on our website, I get sued by the FDA. But that information can be put on a nonprofit website. So commercial speech has to do with restriction of First Amendment rights when it comes to promotion of a product where the FDA has actually very strictly limited, the ability to speak freely about the connection between food and medicine. And remember, 2,400 years ago, Hippocrates, father of modern medicine, father of medicine in general in Greece, he said, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. And he said, do no harm. Well, modern medicine is the leading cause of death in America. Pharmaceutical industry is the only solution given to doctors to cure people. And unfortunately, it's a partial solution. Long-term medicine has to do with exercise, has to do with decent nutrition, and personal responsibility. The bottom line is commercial speech is their way to keep the lid on the voice of raw milk. So I can say what I want on a radio talk show because I'm exercising free speech on a first-person basis, but I can't put that information on our website, and that's strictly prohibitive.
I do really appreciate the way you've set up your website at organicpastures.com because you don't say, oh, everyone start drinking a gallon of raw milk a day, and that's going to be great, because you know that that's oftentimes not the case. If there is someone that is allergic to pasteurized and processed milk, they perhaps will need to start slowly, and maybe you could speak a little bit about that.
People that come to raw milk from very, very different avenues, different means. We have people that are very, very sick that want to fix their immune system who have been abandoned by modern medicine. We have people that are really conscious and read Weston A. Price and Sally Fallon and want to do well for their families. They're totally healthy. And you got everybody in between. You got cancer survivors. You got people with gut problems. You got people with GERD. You got people with Crohn's disease. When we sell raw milk here in California, we don't know who's going to pick up that bottle. We haven't had a chance to talk to them. The nice thing about a cow share is you can see somebody coming in and, for the most part, know generally who's drinking your milk. What we are very concerned about is that people don't just get suckered into drinking a half gallon of raw milk because it's so delicious. If you look at the polls about what consumers say about raw milk, they say, number one, it's delicious. It's absolutely delicious. I just love it. I can't stop drinking it. We do know that there's incredible medical influences in the gut. There is a new sheriff in town. When you drink raw milk, you actually call out a whole bunch of peacekeepers that go into the gut, good bacteria, lactobacillus, and other bifidobacteria types and coliforms, that go in and basically evict bad bacteria. And what happens is when people drink a bunch of raw milk or raw kefir or raw cream and have never been exposed to this beneficial biodiversity of beneficial bacteria, you're going to have a little battle. You're probably going to have some diarrhea. You may even feel nauseated and have a small fever. You're actually having a war in your gut to get rid of the bad and replace it with the good. And that can be quite a conflict. So we always say, hey, listen, take baby steps. If you've never had raw milk or you're concerned, or you've had a lot of antibiotics in your life, or you've had a sterile food, a Twinkie diet, lots of Diet Coke, you're just a mess in your gut. Well, you know, take it easy. Take a couple of ounces every few hours and see how it goes. We have not ever met anybody that couldn't accommodate over a day or two of just taking it easy. It just takes baby steps, and people do fine. Most people have no problem transitioning to raw milk right away. So that's why our frequently asked questions are designed the way they are, to just warn people, hey, listen, you're taking control of your gut, but your gut's been managed by a corporate interest of sterile food and sterile, you know, the antibiotics and everything for many, many years, and that's why you got so many gut problems. But, you know, manage the transition with a little respect to Mother Nature, and that's something we are very open with our consumers.
And certainly a case of diarrhea is inconvenient, but I think that's actually a very good thing because you are really starting to clear out the old and bring in the new.
Diarrhea is a very, very important tool that your body has to say, I recognize something bad, get rid of it, and let's resort the priorities in the gut. Now, once you're on raw milk on a regular basis and everything's stabilized, you shouldn't have diarrhea ever, I mean, or very, very seldom. Raw milk is a very, very powerful immune booster. When 80% of your immune system is the beneficial bacteria in your gut, you need a source of those bacteria and the food to feed those bacteria in order to stabilize your immune system and have a strong protective immune system. So that's what the experience has been when people drink raw milk. There's no allergies, and they have strong immune systems, and they also have no digestive problems. The lactose intolerance goes away because the beneficial bacteria, which make the lactase, which start to recolonize the gut. So all the good things start to happen, and it's a powerful, wonderful food, and it tastes great.
Oh, my gosh. It tastes so good. I have to share with you that when I first started with our co-op, I would always get a pint of cream thinking, oh, I'm going to make butter. It's so easy to make butter. And every week I just found myself standing at my refrigerator eating cream. I never bothered to make butter.
Well, we have the kind of the desperate mom syndrome. We get these phone calls from moms around the state that their children have been weaned off breast milk. And they tried baby formula, or they tried pasteurized milk or some other food that was been processed, and the babies just completely reacted to it. They'd go to raw milk, and guess what? No problem at all. And that's been a story that people have told us when they say, hey, listen, we need raw milk in the store. It's out. It's out. What are we going to do? My kids are starving. They can't drink pasteurized milk. What am I going to do? What am I going to do? So your radio talk show really is bringing this message to a broader, broader group of people. And it's a message that needs to be shared.
And we are ending up airing in many, many countries now. And it's pretty fascinating what's going on around the world with this issue, too. And I'm sure you're aware of it. In France, you can go to a vending machine, for instance, and get raw dairy, and which may not feed that where does this milk come from situation very well. But just the fact that it is being made available is quite wonderful. All of Europe seems to be a little bit more ahead of the times where they're across the board anti the GMOs and all of that. So it's good to see this legislation can perhaps flow back and forth across the Atlantic. I guess the only thing left is to ask the million-dollar question, where do you get a Got Raw Milk T-shirt or hat that I see people wearing?
We have them here at the dairy, at Organic Pastures Dairy. We have them. We can send them out. 1-877-RAW-MILK, 1-877-RAW-MILK. And we love to do that. People like buy them off our website, too, at organicpastures.com. But, yeah, it's a brave new world, and it's beautiful. And the more I talk to farmers that have started to produce raw milk, the more excited I hear their voices. And, in fact, they're getting paid well, and they're getting compliments. And they're also getting, you know, they get complaints, too, and the consumers complain to them. It's honest feedback. They get hugs or they get kicked in the shins. But nonetheless, it's integrity working, and it's exciting to be a part of a real agricultural system where the agriculture still has its culture and that it's not a commodity system and the farmers and consumers can be reconnected. It's so good for America, for our healthcare system, for jobs, for nutrition, for our next generation. It's just good for everybody in America, and you're just so pleased to be a part of that.
One more thought here about it also being good for the land. You mentioned you have 425 cows on 500 acres. What would you do if you had 1,000 cows? How many acres of land would be a good amount for that or necessary?
That's a great question. I don't think I'd have 1,000 cows here ever. It's just too many for being able to do the pasture. The sunshine plays such an important role in what we do here in California. But, you know, at the Raw Milk Institute, I know that, you know, we have to acknowledge and appreciate that there are so many different ecosystems and political realities and geographic realities around America that you won't do raw milk the same in every location. There may be places where the cows are inside in a tie stall most of the year, you know, 6 months of the year, because it's snowy and icy outside. But you're going to have to take care of those cows with good bedding and nurturing and keep them clean in order to have that milk be safe during the wintertime. And then the summertime, obviously, they're going to be outside in the sunshine and pastures. But here at Organic Pastures Day, we're able to have the cows pretty much all year long out on pastures, which is a great benefit to us in terms of being able to keep them in the right kind of conditions so you have good bugs, not bad bugs. And, of course, you have to stay away from antibiotics. You have to stay away from lots of grain. You can do a little bit, but not a lot. And you have to feed good forages, and you have to take care of your animals. And those are things that, generally speaking, the conventional dairyman doesn't have to worry about so much because he can feed lots of grain, lots of silage, and inject them with antibiotics if there's ever a problem. Those are things that do not work real well in a raw milk environment because you're going to be creating bad bugs when you do that. Can't be using a DST hormones or antibiotics or, you know, those kinds of things. You've got to be very cautious and concerned about the physiology of the cow. You have to work with her. You can't work against her. When you work against her, you can do all kinds of things because you've got pasteurization to deal with the aftermath of all the bad bugs created. So this is a symbiosis with Mother Nature working with her, and you get all kinds of wonderful, wonderful natural things that come out of that, like good health. Figure that, good health.
Yes, and although we do want to keep our farms and communities close in, I'm so glad of the technology these days that we can actually share this information across many, many miles. And I appreciate, Mark McAfee, what you are doing for us in the world. So thank you.
Thank you very much, and I believe it's a big, huge cooperative effort of all of us working together, wherever we are, however we can work together to make this happen. So it's a good thing. It's a good thing.
For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for notices about weekly programming, it's tributariesradio.wordpress.com. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.